We have a guest. We have our guest. Our guest has shown up.
Late as usual.
You're one of those, huh?
Not usually.
It's the Hudson way, man. It's the Hudson way.
I try not to be.
It's the Hudson way.
It's okay.
I got excited. I was building the larder at the bakery, and I lost track of time.
You were building the larder. See, that's a technical term.
It's just a sort of preserve section. Can you not hear me? I'm bad with the mic. Sorry, guys.
There you go.
Preserve section?
Yeah, preserves and canning and sort of those sorts of things.
Oh, I see. Like the pantry.
The pantry of sorts, yeah. And so lots of salted chilies and pickled peppers and oil pack things.
Are these things
tomatoes.
You made?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That came from the farms. We try and do, at the bakery, we try and do as much as possible to take large stuff from the farm, large products and vegetables, and then break them down. And
do you live on a farm?
I do not live on the farm, no, but I take them from, the bakery works with quite a few farms mm-hmm. locally. The majority of our produce, other than citrus, you know, comes from within 10 miles of here.
Mm-hmm.
And avocados, of course.
Bananas.
We don't use a lot of bananas.
Pineapple.
Or pineapple. unfortunately, those things don't grow here, so.
But they travel well. They've always traveled well.
Right. Well, you seem to be expanding your empire of beyond.
Empire.
Well, Bofilio and bread caught on so quickly, and the fact that we had, you know, good bread baked right here, that it was exciting for everybody, I think. Well, it was
because
people said, you know what we really need is a bakery.
I know. They said that for years, even when we had Loaf. Before we were Bonfilio, we were Loaf Bakery, and we baked out of the basement of our house. And
Loaf was down...
Loaf was was in the old Lick space.
Right.
During the winter, and then...
Just below Third.
And we had split the old Swallow space next to the police department. They always said, we need a bakery in town, and then we had one. But it didn't, it wasn't a visual sort of brick and mortar thing that I guess people wanted to see in order to...
Well, they wanted baked goods.
They had memories of the Jersey Bakery, and there were quite a few bakeries in this town.
TSL was a big bakery.
TSL, Rose's Bakery, which is in the building where the Crimson Sparrow is.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There were lots of bakeries, lots of bars.
Oh,
lots
yeah.
of things, you know, and so gives hope that... even in a town of 5 to whatever the number is, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people any given day, that saturation shouldn't be an issue because it wasn't then, you know.
No.
There's enough industry in town and enough people coming in.
And you do wholesale, too, throughout the region,
we do.
Right?
We don't do a ton of it, but by choice. Wholesale's tough because, and we're lucky the clients that we have are a lot of restaurants in the area. When you think of restaurants that you eat at, generally there are clients, which is very nice. We feel very lucky to have them. But if you're not doing what's considered real wholesale, which is massive quantities, you know, hundreds to thousands of pieces or loaves, it can be a nightmare in terms of logistics and staffing and money.
Delivery and all that.
Delivery and, you know, people don't necessarily always want to meet minimums and they want you to drive to Kingston. And, you know,
how you drive that?
Yeah. I mean, we were sending bread down to the city for a while to a retail store, but that ended. But yeah, we go up to Albany and south, all the way down to Milan and further most times.
Is there a lot of competition for that kind of wholesale business?
You know, I think so. Rachel and I are never really presented with that at this point. Earlier on, think there was, but you know, there's Bread Alone, there's Our Daily Bread, they're bigger, much bigger operations, and they do lots of farmers markets too. Yeah. So they have a big production, they do grocery stores, and so there's a lot of that. I think Cafe La Perche does wholesale, I don't know, but I think they have in the past.
I think they do,
but yeah, we sort of by choice keep our wholesale to not necessarily selective, but our bread is very specific also. It's not everyone's style. It's dark. It's crusty. Some people might call it burnt. We disagree with that statement. But the fact is if you're walking in our door, we're hoping that you're coming for the bread that we make. And same goes for the wholesale.
Right.
You know, we try and stay away from people who are like, can I have the bread lighter? Well, then you don't really want the bread that we make. that's sort of how we pick and choose. Yeah. And
that's always a tough one.
Yeah, it's just about
the same thing when you're a chef.
True to what you do.
I mean,
exactly.
As a chef, you have that same issue. It's like
exactly.
Well, I could do that, but then it's not really what. You're not getting what I think.
I mean, that's the same thing with breakfast at the bakery and the lunch. I mean, we're very, again, very proud and lucky to have been supported by as many people who come in the doors that we don't know that aren't just locals.
And as you know, on weekends especially, you get a lot of people.
Yeah, we were very lucky to stay busy all week, though. Yeah. I mean, it's not just a Saturday, Sunday thing.
No, but I just mean the people coming on weekends tend to be less familiar with the place.
Exactly.
I mean, last week I was there and someone said, a woman came and she told her partner there, she said, I want the poached eggs, no eggs, get a chicken cutlet on it. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, well, we've been pigeonholed and oftentimes or pointed out for being strict.
It doesn't keep people away, though.
The reality is that it's a very small space. The kitchen itself is quite small. And, you know, one of the reasons why we cut the breakfast sandwich afternoon is because it takes up the entire griddle space for the rest of the operation. And it's not because we don't want to give you egg sandwiches afternoon. It's not an ethos or anything like that. It's just about a spatial thing. And
now, at one point, you were going to move next door to what I think is called the Anchor.
Yeah,
that hasn't opened yet.
Conversation that we had all been having. Chaz and Howard are great people. The people who own the building, they're very sweet, very close friends, and it just didn't work out. It wasn't the right scenario.
Right.
And you know, they have a lot. They have a lot of stuff to still do. And but I think that operation could be a really great thing for this town. Mm-hmm. I think we were going to do a restaurant. We were going to do the full bakery in there. And I now, looking back on it, you know, hindsight being 2020, I think that we weren't ready to do that yet at that point.
But
we were
now
still sort of figuring out what we were doing, you know.
You've been doing pop-up dinners.
Yeah, we do it at the Rivertown Lodge.
Definitely
dinner service is definitely something that we are.
Your desire. It's showing your desire to do
for
that.
For sure. There are aspects of dinner that you can't accomplish for breakfast, and there's a variety of things that, you know, sometimes you just don't want to put an egg on it, and oftentimes for breakfast it's something that you make something and then you're like, oh wait, I have to put an egg on it. Rachel and I are definitely considering the options of how and when and where to do dinner service. It would still, we talk a little bit about kind of turning the bakery back into a bakery and sort of deciding to move the food service operation elsewhere. And there's some conversations happening.
Well, Ellen's most excited, of course, about your new venture with Lick.
Oh, yeah.
That you bought from the
Tom is not excited at all.
Oh, Tom's fine.
Except he tells me he's there, you know, more than once a day, apparently.
Good. And we're doing soup now, too, because it's been, you know, honestly, you know, not crazy busy. And
soup at where?
Where are you doing the soup? Soup at Lick?
Yeah, so we're serving
about
two
Lick
different...
and Slurp?
Lick and Slurp, right. Well, you just keep coming up with the names, and we'll just keep posting them in the window. We're doing our ice cream as usual, and we do sundaes and egg creams and hot, you know, just.
Oh, you do egg creams.
Yeah. But we're also doing soup now to try soup and cookies and those sorts of things. We're talking about doing maybe some toasted brioche with ice cream, which is sort of like an Italian staple. Usually it's done on a bun, but. It's like an ice cream sandwich, but with brioche.
Wow.
It's really, or a gelato sandwich for the brioche. But anyway, but yeah.
Do you put butter on the brioche? What do you put?
It's kind of made of
chocolate
brioche.
Syrup?
Brioche is made of butter, mostly. Butter and eggs.
Okay, you don't need butter.
It's like when you put butter on a croissant. I never understood that. It's like, you know, made mostly of butter.
It's the cold and the hot.
Yeah, no, I get it. I've never been a huge butter person. I didn't grow up in a household where a lot of butter was used. It was mostly olive oil, so. I always find it to be like saturatingly fatty. Mm-hmm.
How come no smart-ass comment there, Ellen?
Sorry?
When he said he grew up in a household with olive oil. Usually if I say that,
you have two Italians.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, she's being more respectful.
Italian. That's the way my father used to pronounce it.
Yeah, surprise.
My parents didn't, but it's I find more and more it's the Italian and the Bonfiglio.
How do you pronounce
Bonfiglio?
Bonfiglio. That's
the
what
G
I
and
thought.
L in Italian are not
You see, he was making fun of me when I said Bonfiglio.
I did not. I was praising you.
No, it's great. I mean, I honestly, at this point, I don't care. But you know, it's
just don't call me late.
What
for dinner.
Do most of your
you can call
customers
me Mary
say.
As long as you walk in the door. I don't care.
It's the Mary restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what do your customers say? Bonfiglio, Bonfiglio.
They say Bonfigs. They say Bonfiglio. They say Bonfiglio. They don't
as long
even.
As
they just call it bread sometimes.
Just bread. Yeah.
There is that place. It's
that's
bread.
What it says Bonfiglio and bread.
Yeah, but there's a sign above the door that's the light box sign says bread, so that's what they see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, but we're, you know, we're trying to, with both places, just trying to kind of keep it as simple as possible and serve as many of the people that are here as possible. But so the soup at Lick was just a way of trying to bring people in the door. And, you know, they're really, I mean, there are a few places to get soup quickly to go. I mean, I know Talbot Narding does a bouillon, and but we're just trying to offer, like,
soup.
You know,
love soup.
One chicken broth of every week, and then a vegetarian option, really simple, and then a piece of focaccia that you get with it, and then
perfect.
You can also take, we'll have quart containers of them frozen so that you can take them home for a quick dinner.
Alan? Alan's big on the takeout.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
quick and easy, and it's you know, it's all the produce and the meat comes from local farms. It's labored over for quite a long time. You know, this chicken stock is 48 hours at least, you know.
Wow. You so. Know about the soup Nazi in New York.
I, only from Seinfeld.
I actually used to go to the soup Nazi.
The real soup Nazi.
I worked a block away. The real
nice.
Soup Nazi.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty fierce. But
yeah.
there also was, when I worked near City Hall downtown, there was a soup place, and I think it was a chain.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
A cup of soup. I mean, they'd offer three
wasn't it called like cup
of soup
or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, they had one in when I went to Hunter College. They had one up like in the 60s.
So you'd get soup, piece of bread.
What's that place called?
And yeah. And a piece of fruit. They had a big bowl
yeah, yeah.
with apples and oranges.
That
and
was definitely a time.
And,
there was a lot of places like that, like the salad in the plastic container to go. Those kinds of places,
mm-hmm.
the soup, sandwich, salad joints, and there were
yeah.
always chains. When I went to high school in Brooklyn Heights, there was a place right on Pierpont Street that was like that.
And then you had a soup card. You get it punched in every
yeah,
ten,
yeah, yeah.
every 10 punches you got a
yeah.
free lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it was great. It was like perfect lunch.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, full circle. We always, you know, taking over Lick after our, you know, friends Christopher and Michael had it, and they were the people to give our first space to sell bread out of. And we wanted to keep it around, and then they had the winter market where Dave Chicane used to sell the quarts of soup, and we liked that sort of old aspect of what Hudson had, and you know, simple things. It doesn't have to be, you know, you try and make it look as nice as possible, but it's more of a just a day to day. Kind
mm-hmm.
of ease.
And there's plenty of counter space on. You could sit there and
yeah, I mean, everything is
going
to be in a to-go setup, but you're welcome to sit there and have the soup because we have the soup hot and we have it also in cold containers to go.
Uh-huh.
So that's breaking news, Alan.
That's
is
all.
It,
that's
it
during the day,
12
to 5. At,
soup.
Starting at 12. I think it, I can't remember the exact ending point, but it's like 12 to 5 or 12 to 6, and then that'll go through the winter.
And you're on the corner of Warren
and
7th
Street. Yep. So 623 Warren Street is where Lick is.
I have to say I was heartsick when Lick closed, but then when the new Lick moved out of my neighborhood, I thought, I don't know, there goes the neighborhood,
you know,
or there it goes.
Well, we just tried to, you know, when considering it, keeping it here and keeping it open, we wanted to add to the space. We wanted to give you more space
sure.
to sit and be able to do more of a sort of pharmacy setup in terms of egg creams and hot fudge sundaes and those sorts of things, phosphate sodas. And
is it still Jane's ice cream
yep.
you're selling?
Yeah, I think they make some of the best ice cream around.
Yeah.
You know, we're sort of held to whatever flavors they have, and they try and keep it as seasonal as possible.
Do they limit how many places they distribute their ice cream?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I know that in conversations with still using them, the idea would be that way we would be the only person in Hudson to have them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they sell to, there's an ice cream shop in Hillsdale, I think, they have. And I know they sell to the Bartlett House, mm-hmm. which I found out through Instagram. But I, you know, we're not sort of fascistic about them being able to sell where they, you know, it's up, it's, you know, I can't tell them how to run their business. You know.
So what's next?
Right now, that's what's in the cards.
We're
talking again. We're talking about dinner service and changing the operation. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that's set in stone that I can necessarily tell you anything about.
I heard murmurs about Athens.
Oh well, yeah, we are working on a project in Athens. The date isn't set in stone. It was supposed to be last spring, but there were issues of structure with the building.
And what are you going to be doing in Athens?
It's going to be mostly like a coffee shop. Yeah, a coffee shop with pastries, some prepared foods, some soup, pizza, cold like Bialy sandwiches for breakfast. So we're kind of reverting back to the old days of loaf. You know, have a couple prepared sandwiches that you can take, have some pizza that you can order, things that are of ease, not necessarily things that are wrapped in plastic and kind of like forgotten about for days, but things that are made fresh daily, but that aren't about you waiting for hot pickups and time,
right.
And grab and go. I've heard some people in hearing about that concept there that they're not into the idea of that and that they won't be patronizing our business. But, you know, people have a lot of opinions. They also hide behind email.
But you heard it here,
without signing off.
Mm-hmm. You heard the word Bialy.
Yeah, Bialys. We'll be baking the Bialys fresh there. We'll be baking the pastries fresh there. The bread will be brought over. This is, you know, nothing again is set in stone, but that's the concept for what we're thinking about in terms of ease of doing both.
And is it near Crossroads Brewery?
It's directly across the street from Crossroads. Yeah, it's the old Chinese laundromat. And it's a cool space. Peter Spears and Brian Swordstrom, who are sort of locals of the area, mm-hmm. Own the building. And they've done a really beautiful job with Jeremiah Rusconi in terms of bringing it back to what it was supposed to be. We were just there yesterday or 2 days ago. After the last couple of days, I've lost track of time. It's been a weird couple of days. So I think it was the night of the election.
And that was weird enough, the election.
Weird is an understatement. I'm not sure there's enough time to talk about that without me losing my temper. But we went over there. It's really beautiful. They did a lot of really nice things in terms of having to restructure the building and using old oak beams and posts. Mm. And it's a very simple space, but it's gonna be nice when it's all done. But there's some work ahead. There's some things to do. But yeah, that's the idea. I lied when I said that was the only thing. There's another thing.
The empire does grow, Ellen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this has been in the works for a long time. I mean, it's been about a year and a half now that we put paper in the window saying that we were coming.
And you know, Ellen, his partner, Rachel, works full-time at the business, too.
Yeah,
I know.
Rachel's the other owner and the mind and operator, mind behind the operation. She's the woman who actually started the bakery without me, and then I sort of came in and helped her out when it was loaf. Yeah, she was the first. She used to sell bread to when Migliorelli's was.
Mm-hmm.
No, I say it. Migliorelli. Mm-hmm. No, you got me saying it. It's because Kenny says it that way. He says Kenny Migliorelli.
Yeah.
When Migliorelli's farm store was there, she would sell ciabatta, and people were like, "Where is this ciabatta coming from?" You know. Mm. And we used to sell it at Strong Tree. And then I sort of came in when we decided to kind of move on to loaf with no bread experience. Both of us are self-taught, so. Rachel is the person that makes that place go, for sure. I mean, without her, you know.
When do you think your adorable little daughter will be ready to work there?
Tomorrow. soon. She likes to clean.
Oh.
She likes to make messes, and then she goes, "Daddy, clean." And she wipes the table.
Excellent.
Well, after she's drawn all over the table. She's very sweet right now. She's nonstop.
How old is she?
24 hours a day. She just turned 2 at the end of October.
Wow. She'll be a teenager soon.
Yeah, she's feeling that way. She's already manipulating both of us. And
how would you like Ellen to have parents who owned an ice cream store?
Wouldn't yeah, be bad.
She had her birthday party
Not
there.
Not a bad thing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
My father had a roadside stand during the Depression called Thirsty's Inn.
Nice.
That's where you started the booze?
The ice cream.
That's where you started on the hooch,
they,
huh?
You know, they had hamburgers, hot dogs, and they had a sign. And I wish I had this sign that said, let me remember. Mom's at home, but we've got pop on ice.
Nice. That's
when they called it pop.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
So I went to school in the Midwest. They called everything pop or Coke. And so even if they were ordering orange soda, they would call it Coca-Cola, and you'd be like, what are you?
Wow, and this is like a Garrison Keillor episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom's at home. We've
yeah,
got
no, it's very, she's very lucky to have an ice cream shop with her. You know, that, maybe that'll be her college tuition. Who knows?
Jake, anything you want to say? No.
Hi.
Hi, Jake. There you go.
Did you ever go to Bonfilia?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Very good.
So
you got the Jake seal of approval.
Blowing smoke on my...
My mom loves your bread.
Oh, thanks. There you go. If your mom loves it, then we're all set.
There you
go. No, it's true, actually. I really like... You know, we had a customer that came in, and, you know, people always consider us, like, one of the weekend places, which is unfortunate, because that's not how we started. I can't turn them away, right? I can't tell them they can't come into my business on Saturday and Sunday. But I had a longtime customer who's probably in her mid-60s, and she had told me that she had come to all the pop-ups, dinners at Rivertown Lodge. She comes and buys bread 3 times a week, and it reminds you of the wide spectrum of your customer base and how nice it is that it's not just about like the cool kids from Brooklyn. Or, you know, the cool kids from Hudson.
It's a cool 60-year-old.
Yeah, no, but it's just about, it's that it doesn't matter your age or what you do or what you look like. You know, as long as you, like, that we're creating something that many, many people can enjoy.
That's right.
And that's a good feeling.
Well, in case there's anyone out there that doesn't know where you are, mm-hmm. What is the address of Bonfilio?
Bonfilio and Bread is 748 Warren Street.
748 Warren.
Yep. There's a sign above the door, a light box sign that says Bread. It's hard to miss. And the ice cream shop's at 623 Warren Street, right on the corner by the park, catty corner from the park.
And people in Athens will have to stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yeah, I mean, we will be there. It's just about when it happens. It should be in the next, 6 months to a year.
Great. Well, come back and tell us about it when it's open.
I will indeed. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
And we have more food discussion coming up with your buddy Susan Simon.
Susan Simon is coming.
Uh-oh. Be careful. Is she here?
She's out there having a conniption.
I'll let you handle that.
Yeah. What does a conniption look like?
She's, Susan Simon has been one of our biggest proponents for many, many years.
There you go.
I've actually known her since I was a kid. She grew up on the same, or she lived on the same block that I did in East Village. She was friends with my mother.
Uh-huh.
We came together in Hudson randomly when she was writing a blog about Loaf.
Yeah.
So, funny. Small world.
We're going to talk about comfort food after the election.
She is good at that. I ate a lot of chicken skins last night. Crispy chicken skins. potato chips. Everybody told me they were eating.
It was the way to recover from the election.
Recovering from 4 o'clock in the morning, too much whiskey, too much sadness. I will say, the ladies from Little Debs, Oasis, did a really wonderful thing last night, bringing a bunch of people together.
They did.
Yeah, it was just a place to be. With people to talk to about whatever, and it was a really nice thing they did last night. And as screwed up as an understatement, right? I'm not a wordsmith like Tom, but as screwed up as the situation is, it feels good to be in a town or in a place where you can look to others for support and not necessarily feel judged, because it's gonna. It ain't over getting ugly, because it's going to get uglier. And no matter what side you're on, there's going to be revolt one way or the other, I think. And
the amazing thing was all these people who were marching in the streets.
Yeah, the candlelight vigil last night, and Union Square in the city, and then California and Oakland, and I don't think people are gonna sit down for a while. I think that this is gonna draw the hopefully draw the passion out of the people that it didn't draw out during the election process. Hmm. You know, let's hope, because I don't know. I don't necessarily want to live under Mussolini's thumb, so or a version of that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
What develops.
Well, thank you, guys.